Good night, everybody.
Happy Wednesday from the great state of Tennessee on rumble.com/LFATV. This is Ungoverned on the 10th day of April. Wednesday, hump day, Trump day. Dragon, I'm sure, will be posting, why do they call it hump day? Everybody gets laid on the weekends. Welcome and good evening to the Ungovernables, the captain's crew, the LFA family, and McGroin Nation. We're happy to be here on a Wednesday, of course. Maybe some tech hiccups coming, so be prepared for a little bit of, we may see a little bit of interruption here, freezing here or there. This thing is running a little slow, but so far the cooling fans have worked out no problem, so that's always a good sign. Because remember what happened that one time at band camp when the cooling fans broke on the computer. That was not fun. So we are here, and I guess it's somewhat good news. It's, you know, but it's not the best news because it's not permanent. But we'll talk about it because I do like to celebrate, I guess, the small wins. I guess we can call this a small win. The Pfizer renewal, which you all know I'm a big believer in no Pfizer. I think it needs to be ended completely. Donald Trump came out and said that last night or overnight. You know, we all saw it this morning on Truth Social. That Pfizer needs to be killed. It needs to be killed. It's got to go. And I'm 100% behind that. I want Pfizer out. I believe it has been grossly misused. And that's not just because I believe it, because I have an opinion, because opinions are like buttholes. They all stink and everyone has one, right? But it's beyond that. It's beyond just, you know, that I don't like it. We go towards that. There has been documented proof, not just in presidential elections like with Spygate, but there have been documented proof that the FBI, we've heard from whistleblowers, we've seen reports, we've heard from inspector generals, we heard from, you know, we've seen congressional testimony, Matt Gaetz, etc., about the abuses of Pfizer by the FBI, intel agencies, etc. And so it needs to go. It's got to stop. And you know, Mike Johnson, I've defended him. I've said give him time. The fact that he wants to come out here and push for it to be renewed, especially this renewal, is despicable. Now, I'm not delusional. Motion to vacate. If you do a motion to vacate right now, Hakeem Jeffries is your speaker. Okay? He's got a 2-seat majority. There's not much that he could do. But what he should have done with Pfizer is, he absolutely should have come out and, or, you know, he should not have gotten behind this Pfizer renewal bill. Should not have gotten behind it. And we'll talk about what's wrong with this bill. There's a lot wrong with it. We'll talk about what's wrong with this bill and more as we continue through the show. I also want to point out that one of these 19 Republicans that voted against this, or signaled their, yeah, they voted no, they voted not to advance this bill to the House floor, is somebody that I defended recently. I think it was back in January, maybe February, might have been December even, or early January before the Iowa caucus. And I took a lot of crap for it because Trump came out and called him a rhino. So everybody fell in line and called him a rhino. I said, you know, I get that he's supporting DeSantis, but his voting record is very conservative. I understand he doesn't like Ken Paxton. Fine. People have a right to their opinion. He supported Paxton's impeachment. I disagree with him on that. I'm talking about Chip Roy, if you couldn't figure that out. But you know what? Generally, he votes on bills that, you know, he votes no on bills that we would vote no on. He votes yes on bills that we would vote yes on many, many, many times. Whereas if I had put his voting record in front of you and not named the person, you would say, no, that guy's not a rhino. He's great. He's one of the people that actually sunk this Pfizer renewal. Him and 18 other Republicans. I always say, you know, calm down with the all or nothing approach, because you're never going to get all, but you could certainly wind up with nothing. It's happened on a lot. It's happened on many occasions, far too many occasions recently, that I'm comfortable with, you know, in this system. And Chip Roy was loyal to Ron DeSantis. Fine. Now DeSantis, by the way, coming out says he's going to start fundraising for Trump. That's great. Do we like him again? What's the story? I mean, are we? Is this going to be like the Vivek Ramaswamy thing where, you know, we liked him and then we didn't like him and then we liked him again and we didn't like him again? Windshield wipers back and forth. I think Vivek's all right. Haven't heard a lot from him recently, but I think he's okay. He's been outspoken about a couple of things. It's been nice. He was actually on WPHT after I was on Friday with Kathy Barnett taking phone calls during the earthquake. Oh, wow. Last week. I was like, dang, I wish I could have had some time with him. That would have been fun. You know. And so some folks don't like Chip Roy, but he did what was right here. He voted like I would have voted. So what do I do? I don't come out and say he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't participate in the Whiplash Olympics. I say he made the right move. Because he did. And a lot of other Republicans didn't. And I like to try and be fair. He talks a big game, Roy. And a lot of, look, but folks, I'm not into politicians, right? Like even Matt Gaetz, he's the best. He doesn't like you. Probably doesn't. I got to be honest. I've hung out with Matt. He's a nice guy. At the end of the day, none of these people really care. Some of them care a little more than others, but they don't really care. Again, I like Matt. I think Matt Gaetz is nice. I think he's a cool dude. He's fun to go to parties with. I can tell you that. Yeah, he has a good time. He's a human. But these politicians, the day you catch me worshiping any of them, put one between my eyes. I'm telling you, because at that point, I've completely lost the plot. We don't worship politicians here. That goes for Trump. I don't worship him. I like him. I want him to win badly. Worship? Nah, we don't do that here. Sorry. Wrong show. But I do like to give them props where they deserve it, because I slam them all the time. So when a guy like Chip Roy or a guy like Matt Gaetz makes a good move, or even a Marjorie Taylor Greene, I've been very critical of Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, when she comes out and says Mike Johnson needs to answer for A, B, C, D, and E, she's doing this motion to vacate. It's not going to go anywhere. It's a silly thing to do at this time. That's all for publicity. But her objections are valid. My biggest objection with Mike Johnson now, Ukraine aid, the spending package, and FISA. Well, the good news is FISA right now has been halted in the House. Right now. Is it going to stay that way? Come on, folks. We know the answer. Probably not. But what else are we going to go over? Am I going to talk about the eclipse again? Apparently some people didn't like it. It's just an eclipse. That means you didn't see it. It's okay. And this is not an astronomy show. That's fine, too. No big deal. It's okay. All right, what else is going on out there right now? What? Donald Trump's case is coming next week. Whoa, wow, big. FISA is a huge thing, and it has sweeping implications. We're going to go back to what Matt Gaetz, I just told you. Do I trust him? No. Do I give him credit for exposing a lot of the dirty nonsense that's going on in our government? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll go back to his moments over the summer. Congressional hearings, talking about FISA, we have that. Donald Trump wants FISA to be killed, we have that. Talked about it yesterday with that NBC News article, right? That Democrats are not exactly excited about how Donald Trump is answering this abortion stuff, right? Coming out and saying, it's up to the states. And I know, I get it, we said it yesterday. The pro-life activists, they're upset. How could you not want to be more pro-life than that? Folks, if Donald Trump doesn't win this election, you'll be lucky to ever see a pro-life president again. Ever again. Ever again. What did Donald Trump do? He delivered on his promise to have Roe versus Wade overturned by putting Supreme Court justices on the court that would actually get that done. Now that Roe has been overturned, the federal government does not have a role in abortion and should not be playing a role in abortion. It goes to the states. Moderates like that. Democrats hate that because moderates like it, because in all actuality, the Democrats hate what the moderates like when the moderates agree with common sense solutions that are proposed by Republicans. Latinos, the Latinx community, Latinx, right? Latinos, the Latinos are not happy with the border. We said this on Monday's show, pain points. Let's focus on pain points, not be negative, not drive fear, not drive wedges, not drive division, but focus on the pain points. You know, there's a lot of people who use Donald Trump himself as a pain point. Well, you don't want to vote for Orange Hitler. He's going to be a dictator, right? That's the pain point for a lot of people. We can't go through Trump. Well, there are actual pain points besides the fact that Joe Biden himself is a pain point. He's a babbling idiot, can't make it up a flight of stairs, pooped in front of the Pope. We get it, right? He sniffs kids. He showered with his daughter. We just found out the diary 100% is authentic. Okay? We can talk about Joe Biden, the man, as a pain point. But let's talk about life in general. Inflation, the border, crime, the economy, etc. Those are all pain points. Well, Latinos are not exactly excited about what's going on the southern border. So we have that as well. And yesterday we played, you know, she's already won idiot of the week. That would be a Democrat, uneducated, filthy, stupid Democrat, Sheila Jackson Lee, talking about how the moon is made of gases, not cheese. It's not a rock in space. It's made of gas. According to Sheila Jackson Lee, well, she doubled down on those comments, attempted to clarify them, and somehow made it even worse. We'll get to all that and more. Before we do that, I want to get to a word from our friends over at SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. I see ThoughtCast is here. And what is that ThoughtCast saying? He's saying he's going full Rumble for the show. I know he was in the show a couple, I think it was last week, he started popping into the chat. Happy to have you here. Jeff, I guess his name is, ThoughtCast, welcome to the show. If there are any other newcomers here, folks, let's bring in those newcomers into the show. Let us know if you're there, we'll give you a shout out. Let's get to word from our friends over at SwitchTheNumber2USA.com before we get into all the good stuff. That is SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. Take a look.
We all want to make a difference in our country and make change, but we don't all have the ability to do so. A lot of people are busy. They can't join school boards. They can't get on borough council, but they can change where they shop. And it's just shopping. It's that simple.
We're going to link arms and we're going to shop right here at this American factory. They make the products and they're all natural and they're good for us and they're affordable. Everything's made here in the USA.
That is SwitchTheNumber2USA.com, SwitchToUSA.com. Folks, we have been talking about how the whole world, has been going crazy with supply chain issues, record-setting inflation, and sky-high gas prices. We all know how the big box stores were allowed to stay open the entire time, while so many regular people, small business owners, little guys were forced to close. The wealthiest on the planet became better off while mom and pop suffered. The question is, what are we willing to do about it? How can our voices be heard? Well, you can vote with your dollars. That's how you make a difference. This is a call to action. Switch away from the big box conglomerates and shop factory direct at a family-owned, made-in-America manufacturer for all your monthly consumables, toothpaste, shaving cream, laundry detergent, shampoo, healthy snacks, and now grass-fed beef all delivered right to your door. Switch away from made in China and switch to made in the USA. It is one of the best ways to get around the crazy inflation. Shop with a family-owned company that puts their customers first rather than shareholders and corporate executives. I want you to join the parallel economy that has been formed. Join the massive sweep that is happening through Patriot Nation and decide today that you want to be a part of this movement to cut off their cash flow. Sign up, my friend Maria. We'll give you a call back to enroll you, and then you can start shopping at this privately owned mom and pop that is SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. That is SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. SwitchTheNumber2USA.com. You see it on your screen right there for you. Fill out that form and Maria will give you a call back. Next up is the LFA TV store located at LFATV.us. LFATV.us, the LFATV website. If anybody has a hard time finding the show, you go to LFATV.us. You can click on that pop-up. It'll bring you to the show that is currently live. Click on the LFATV store tab, especially if you see Kevin's face on the screen. You got to get that off the screen as soon as possible. And you will see the flannels and the overstock list, folks. There's a $10 overstock list at LFATV.us. That is LFATV.us. Click on that store tab. You've got the flannels. You've got great deals on that overstock list at LFATV.us, or you can go directly to the store by going to jeremyherrell.com/store. That's LFATV.us or jeremyherrell.com/store. You know the deal, ladies and gentlemen. If we are able to stack up 2,000 live viewers, you will all have a chance to see Mo the Hedgehog. Who is Mo the Hedgehog? Is it a real hedgehog? Is it a fake hedgehog? You'll get to see him. He's in exile. It's not a big challenge, but I know everyone wants Mo. You want Mo? We got to share it out and get 2,000 people in here so we can get back to 10 a.m. style.
You have to rumble some Mo.
You got to rumble some Mo. All right, let's talk about some really good news, though. I like every now and then to talk about some good things that are happening. You know, I'm not a big fear guy. I'm not into the fear mongering. I'm not into the negativity, although sometimes it's all we have, you know. But this, honestly, objectively, is a good thing, folks, for now. For now. The House has sunk the Mike Johnson-backed, which is despicable, Pfizer renewal package after Donald Trump pushed for it overnight. Conservatives voiced anger over GOP leaders' opposition to more warrant requirements. More than a dozen House GOP privacy hawks have blocked the House of Representatives from advancing a Speaker Mike Johnson-backed bill to renew a controversial federal government surveillance tool known as Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which is FISA. It comes hours after former President Trump posted on Truth Social, quote, "Kill FISA. It was illegally used against me and many others." Now, I'm sure there are a few liberals who think that FISA is a real person and probably a person of color. And that Donald Trump wants somebody killed. It's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And it is precisely what was used against Donald Trump in the rigged election of 2016. You say rigged election of 2016, we won. Yes, but it was still rigged. The point is, we overcame the rig. Remember, Obama's DOJ, Obama's CIA, Obama's FBI, Obama's intel apparatus, they were spying on Donald Trump and on Donald Trump campaign associates with FISA. Carter Page had a FISA warrant and a FISA investigation and wiretaps opened up against him. Michael Cohen, General Flynn, Paul Manafort, George Papadopoulos. We've done Spygate shows before. You know how much Spygate means to me. And you know how much I've been saying it for a long time. FISA needs to go. Now, when Mike Johnson pushed it through over the late winter, early fall, and kind of punted on it and said, well, we'll get back to this in April. I said, well, let's see what he does in April before we pass any judgment. Now he's apparently backing this bill that is going to renew FISA. Well, that I say, absolutely not. That's not what I thought we were getting in Speaker Johnson. Now, I understand he's in a rock. He's between a rock and a hard place. 19 Republicans voted against their party leadership to tank a procedural vote that would have allowed for the House to debate and then vote on the bill itself. The final bill was 193 to 228. The Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, a compromise bill between the House Judiciary Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, is aimed at curbing instances of abuse reported against Trump and others by instituting safeguards on who can access Section 702 collected data, particularly if it involves a U.S. citizen. It would also make it a crime to use backdoor loopholes to improperly access Americans' data. Folks, it's already a crime to do what they did to Trump and Manafort and Papadopoulos and Carter Page and Michael Cohen and Michael Flynn, but they did it anyway because nobody enforces it. So what's the thing we do? Kill FISA. It's got to stop. No more FISA. Now, let me take a trip down memory lane. First, let me show you what Matt Gaetz said to Christopher Wray This is the FBI. FBI loves FISA. This is Gates grilling Christopher Wray over how they have abused Americans' Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment rights. Take a look.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you. You don't give straight answers. You give answers that later a court deems aren't true. And then at the end of the day, you won't criticize an obvious shakedown when it's directly in front of us. And it appears as though you're whitewashing the conduct of corrupt people.
Respectfully, Congressman, in your home state of Florida, the number of people applying to come work for us and devote their lives working for us is up over 100%.
We're deeply proud of them, and they deserve better than you.
Okay, that was not Matt Gaetz grilling him over FISA abuse, but that was Matt Gaetz pointing out that the FBI is obviously working in partisan fashion, which is still important, because if the FBI is working in a partisan way and they're given these surveillance tools, who do you think they're going to surveil? Democrats or Trump supporters? This is the clip that I was really talking about, the abuses of FISA. The hundreds of thousands of abuses of FISA. Take a look.
You're like blissfully ignorant. You're blissfully ignorant as to the unlawful queries. You're blissfully ignorant as to the Biden shakedown regime. And it just seems like it gets into a kind of a creepy place as well. Go to our next image on what the court said. Like, just so the American people realize, the court has smacked you down, ruling FBI personnel apparently conducted queries for improper personal reasons. People were looking themselves up. They were looking their ex-lovers up. Who has been held accountable or fired as a consequence of the FBI using the FISA process as their, like, creepy personal snoop machine?
There have been instances in which individuals have had disciplinary action and who are no longer with it. I can't get into it here, but we can follow back up.
But
with
don't you see? Don't you see that that's kind of the thing, Director?
So we've talked about it. The court has—it's been in court filings that FISA has been abused. Looking up themselves, looking up their girlfriends, their ex-girlfriends, people that they may know. That's not what FISA was for. Everybody who tells you that, oh, we need to keep it in place so that we can stop terrorism. Well, then why the hell is the FBI looking up themselves? Why are people in the FBI looking up ex-girlfriends? Bro, you got blocked on Instagram by your ex. So you're going to flex your muscles in government and look her up? Get over it. Move on. There's other fish in the sea. And I don't really care. I mean, listen, folks, that's ridiculous, right? I don't want it to happen. But if the FBI agents and folks in the FBI are using FISA to look up ex-girlfriends, to look up themselves, you know they're using it to serve an agenda. Not the agenda that they're supposed to serve, which is keeping America safe. And by the way, relying on the government and the intel apparatus to keep us safe is stupid in and of itself. There's this thing in the Constitution. It's called the Second Amendment. That can keep you safe if you exercise your Second Amendment rights without the use of the FBI. Now, I'm not saying, and you know what's funny about this?
What?
I was talking to a friend about the Idaho thing.
Okay.
And he goes, it really seems like this is an op. That some kid in Idaho pledged allegiance to ISIS. Isn't it weird that they make this arrest right before they try to renew FISA? Isn't that strange? It's almost as if they timed it perfectly. There's a teenager, and I'm not saying he didn't pledge allegiance to ISIS. I'm not saying the kid wasn't planning on shooting up churches. I had no idea. I knew, I think it's April 19th is the deadline. Don't you find it strange that a teenager, an 18-year-old, Alexander Scott Mercurio, we talked about it yesterday, was arrested in Idaho, of all places. Idaho. It's a red state, right? He's a white 18-year-old kid, pledged allegiance to ISIS. The FBI stopped him. We stopped terrorism. And they tell you all about it. And now you find out they want to renew FISA. Don't you find that a little weird, the timing? Does that make sense? FBI says, look what FISA helped us stop. ISIS is in the country. Well, we know ISIS is in the country. The border's wide open. Everybody, every terror group's in the country at this point. Right as FISA was getting, I was trying to figure out, you know, maybe it's legit. Maybe they got one. No, I think they purposefully released the details of this arrest or pinched this kid right now. This is timed too perfectly so that they can use that as justification to renew FISA. I really think that's the play here. And I think we've seen this repeat itself multiple times. Idaho? You really believe ISIS is in Idaho? Yesterday, I was like, wow, that's kind of scary. If they're in Idaho, they're everywhere. And the kid could very well have been ISIS. But the timing makes me go, hey, that's a, I don't really know if there are coincidences like that anymore. I don't think so. Now, Donald Trump obviously suggested that FISA needs to go because they used it against him and tried to stop him from winning the 2016 election. But wait until we actually talk about what's in this FISA renewal bill that'll really make you upset. Congress gives itself a carve-out in the FISA renewal bill. If you're a member of Congress, you can't be spied on. If you're an average, ordinary American, no problem. Spy away. The House of Representatives is finalizing a bill to continue their FISA warrantless spying on American citizens. It appears the House is ready to pass this forward, even after the federal government was caught illegally spying on President Trump, by the way, and other people. And they got away with it. Thomas Massie reported on Monday that Congress gave itself a carve-out in the reauthorization of the FISA 702 warrantless spying bill. The FBI will have to notify Congress and seek consent before violating the privacy of a member of Congress. But the rest of America, you're on your own. You don't need to be told. The FBI can abuse your rights at any time, and you don't know anything about it. Nobody has to tell you. Isn't that nice? And Mike Johnson is backing this thing. Isn't that nice? That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? Thomas Massie reported that Congress gave its members a special carve-out in the latest version of the FISA bill. From the legislation itself, quote, requirement, the director of the FBI shall, legally binding language, promptly notify appropriate congressional leadership of any query conducted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation using a query term that is reasonably believed to be the name or other personally identifying information of a member of Congress and shall also notify the member who is the subject of such query. Congress gave itself a carve-out in this bill. You're an average everyday American working 9 to 5, paycheck to paycheck, struggling to pay your bills, getting killed at the gas pump. No one's got to tell you anything. You're a member of Congress, protected class, these people who can't stand you, all of them, the FBI has to notify them. So it's bad if it happens to Congress. This is basically it. There are loopholes and there are checks and balances if the FBI wants to open up a surveillance probe through FISA into members of Congress, then there needs to be notification. Everyone's got to know what's going on. We all got to be on the same page. But if they want to do it to me, to you, to anybody else, no, there's no, nope, no, nothing. So why does the carve out only apply to Congress? If it's so bad, I thought we were all created equal. I thought nobody was above one another in this country. I thought nobody was above the law. But apparently members of Congress get the special treatment. There are more requirements to meet if a FISA probe is opened up against members of Congress than are opened up against any of you watching the show right now. Unless, of course, you're a member of Congress and then you are an entitled POS who is just sitting there saying, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're going to probably spying on you right now. And Mike Johnson backs this crap. And many House Republicans back this crap. But 19 of them decided no, that's not what they wanted right now. Among the GOP lawmakers who blocked the bills on Fox News, House Freedom Caucus Chair Bob Good, Nancy Mace, Lauren Boebert, Clay Higgins, Chip Roy, Matt Rosendale, and a few others. You cannot, if it is so bad that Congress needs the carve out, then the rest of America deserves the same carve out. Who put Congress in Congress? We did. I want FISA killed. I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen. But it should absolutely be destroyed. My only fear is that it's too established right now. Its tentacles are everywhere. And if we cut down FISA, something else will grow in its place. That's worse. Or they'll create some sort of false flag event. See, this is why we need FISA. And then it comes right back. That's why I think we heard about Idaho yesterday. That's why I think we heard about Idaho. That's why I think that was in the news. You had this terror attack in Moscow. Now they pinched this 18-year-old kid in Idaho in a place you would not expect to see it. FBI finally does something good. I say, hey, they finally did something good. I had no idea that we were going to be talking about FISA today. Now it all makes sense. Now it all makes sense. Anyway, that's it on the FISA stuff. We're going to get to the Democrats panicking over Donald Trump's abortion messaging. Before we get to all that, I want to get to a word from our friends over at InsurityFinancialServices.com. Tim Gustafson, you know, we've talked about their ambulance coverage, the ambulance insurance, ambulance coverage. It's a great program. But you can also get life insurance over at InsurityFinancialServices.com. Did you know about that? Life insurance, it's important. You say, oh, I can insure my life? Yes, yes, life insurance, a little different. Doesn't mean you stay alive, but it's great. InsurityFinancialServices.com. Go to InsurityFinancialServices.com today. You see it on your screen. To schedule your personal life insurance consultation today. With life insurance, your health buys the policy. Your dollars pay the premium. So call or schedule today. Folks, it's all about peace of mind. Peace of mind is something that you can't really put a price tag on peace of mind, right? You can't really put a price tag on it. If your mind is at ease, generally the rest of your day, the rest of your week, the rest of your month is going to move a little nicely, right? It's going to flow a little more smoothly if you have peace of mind. Life insurance will give you peace of mind. It's a price tag. You can't put a value on that. Peace of mind. Get peace of mind before you rest in peace. You don't want to do that. With personalized life insurance for every stage, every need, and every situation. That is over there, our friends at InsurityFinancialServices.com. That is InsurityFinancialServices.com. InsurityFinancialServices.com. If you cannot remember how to spell the website, the QR code is right there. InsurityFinancialServices.com. Give that a scan. Make sure that you put your mind at ease. Check out what they have for you. You can click on the Contact Tim tab. Tim Gustafson will help you out there. InsurityFinancialServices.com. That is InsurityFinancialServices.com. All right. Please, folks, hit that Rumble button. That's the thumbs up. That is the like button. If you can, we'd appreciate that. We're doing pretty good today. Like seeing everybody here with us on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll be on Locals tomorrow. I'll be on with Zach probably tonight, Misfit Patriot. Talk about the FBI, FISA. We'll be having some fun over there with our good friend Zach Bonfilio, the Misfit Patriot. He's fun. A lot of fun. We always have a lot of fun there. I want to talk about something we brought up yesterday, right? We talked about it yesterday quite a bit, about how the Democrats are not exactly excited that Donald Trump is taking this approach on abortion, right? You say, well, you know, and I understand we have a primarily pro-life audience right now, right? I understand that, and I'm pro-life as well, and I would like to see abortions at rates very close to zero in this country, right? If not at zero entirely. You know, there's always going to be the debate over rape and incest and the life of the mother. And those are debates that we can have downstream. But, you know, the fact that it's being funded by the taxpayers, the fact that abortion is being used as a form of, you know, birth control or a last ditch effort. Well, oops, I got pregnant. Let's just kill the baby. We don't want to deal with that right now. That's unacceptable to me. That's reprehensible. And that's disgusting. There are ways to avoid that. Many, many ways to avoid that. Okay. Now, I mentioned yesterday, we put up the NBC News article, we mentioned that, and we showed you that they were kind of not really happy with the fact that Donald Trump said, this isn't about me, this is up to the states. And now another report is coming out, and it's been on Politico Playbook as well, but here it is on Breitbart. Democrats are fearing Donald Trump's abortion position wins over moderates. You know why? Because it's a common sense position. Because what speaks to a moderate voter? Right? What speaks to a moderate voter more than a presidential candidate saying, oh, you have a problem? You have an issue there? Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's great. I'm not the one who's going to decide that. You are. You are. Someone comes up to me and says, you know, if someone comes up to me or a presidential candidate, and I say to them, well, we're not going to send any more money to Ukraine, right? Well, ultimately, the president has to sign off on those bills that Congress sets forth and brings to their desk, right? The House and the Senate. But when Roe versus Wade was overturned and abortion was returned to the states, or kicked back to the states anyway to make that final decision, the federal government became completely powerless on this issue, as they should be. So when Donald Trump comes out and says it is a state issue, it's not up to me to decide, but because it's a state issue, Mr. or Mrs. Voter, it's up to you to decide. How empowering is that for voters? That's pretty big. The result of the presidential election and all federal elections will have no bearing on what happens to abortion in your state. The result of your state elections, the result of your county elections, those are going to determine what happens with regards to abortion in your state. And that speaks to the moderates. That shows the moderate voter, right? That shows the moderate voter that Donald Trump is not a dictator. Because if Donald Trump wanted to be a dictator, he could say, yep, we're going to ban it. When I get in there, you're not going to have a say. You're going to do what I want, and that's it. But he's basically telling voters, look, it's not up to me. It's up to you. And that's the way it should be. Some Democrats reportedly fear that President Donald Trump's position on abortion will play well with moderate voters heading into November. Trump believes abortion is a state issue, he said on Monday. And by the way, he doesn't just believe that it's a state issue. After Roe versus Wade was overturned, it became a state issue. Whoops, let me get that going there. Donald Trump says he believes it's a state issue. He said that back on Monday. That is in contrast to some Republicans and Democrats who want to use the federal government to undermine states' rights by legislating a national law to render abortion illegal or legal. Trump's opponents appear worried that his position, because it disarms their agenda of rendering divisive issues as federal issues, which necessitates centralizing control and power in Washington, D.C., where the left directs the administrative state and influences the establishment media. Quote, if the election were held today, Trump would win, and that means he's winning moderates over as we speak, one Democrat strategist told The Hill. The strategist who worked on presidential campaigns told The Hill that swing state polling already shows Trump surging in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Nevada, and states that former President Joe Biden must win in 2024. Quote, he understands that the politics that have followed the Dobbs decision have not been great for Republicans, anti-Trump Republican strategist Doug Hay said. Trump was instrumental in appointing Supreme Court justices who essentially ruled that abortion was a state issue. In turn, Democrats successfully used the ruling as a cudgel against Republicans throughout state elections. To confront the Democrats' 2024 attack, Trump issued his official position on Monday. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint. The states will determine by voter legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of their land. There is nothing more moderate. There is nothing more common sense. I don't want to say moderate. There is nothing more common sense about that stance. Basically, Trump is saying whatever he believes should happen with abortion is irrelevant because he cannot rule based on what he wants. It's up to the will of the people. It's not up to him, it's up to you. Whether you're a pro-life activist or a pro-death activist. I don't call them pro-choice. We call them pro-death because that's what they're really about. Right? As Bongino said, it's important when we're talking to Democrats about abortion, they want to say that Republicans have a radical view of abortion. Really? Radical? Okay. When should abortion stop? Well, that's between a woman and her doctor. Okay. When should... You want to write laws, right? What should the law say? When should abortions not be allowed? Well, it's up to the woman. And the, No. What will your law say? There has to be a cutoff. What will your law say? Is it up until birth? Is it the first two trimesters? Is it the first trimester? Is it the heartbeat? Is it 6 weeks? When is it? When a Democrat answers the question, they say, oh, viability. Okay, when is it? When do you consider the fetus viable? Don't let them get away. It's like the gun, right, debate. Assault weapons should be banned. I'm not about banning guns. I just want to ban assault weapons. What are assault weapons? They can't answer that because there is no answer because it's a made up term. Okay? Democrats are the ones with the radical stance on abortion, not Republicans. Democrats believe you can kill a baby after it's born. No, they don't. They don't really. Yes, they do. They believe you can kill a baby up until birth. That's not happening. It's happening. It's happened in New York. It's happened in Virginia. It's happened in California. It has happened. And when you say that shouldn't happen, well, that's not up to you. That's between the woman and the doctor. No, it's not. If that is a viable child, it isn't between anybody. That child has a right to live. That's not radical. That's being nice. That's giving the kid a fair shot. But we're not talking about that right now. Well, we are right now, but that's not at the heart of the abortion issue anymore. Donald Trump saying this is a state matter, not a federal matter, basically says, hands off. He's hands off, which undermines two narratives. It undermines that he's going to take away women's reproductive rights, which is quite silly that the left makes that argument since they can't define what a woman is anyway. But it undermines that argument, and it also undermines the whole dictator. Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. When he says, I'm not in control of that issue, that's up to the people. Oh, I've never heard a dictator say that before in my life, ever. It's Kim Jong-un, it's up to the people. No, I never heard him say that, right? I've never heard Kim Jong-un say, it's up to the people. I've never heard, President Xi, I got along well. Winnie the Pooh, I call him Winnie the Pooh. He's never said it's up to the people of China. He's never said that. I've never heard Putin. You heard Putin? You look at Putin. I got along well with Putin, too. He's never said it's up to the people of Russia. Never said that. He's never said it. Dictators never give the people the right to do anything. They never give the people the right to make decisions. So for a dictator and a guy who wants to take away a woman's right to choose, reproductive rights, whatever... Well, both of those have been undermined by that statement, and moderates can look at that and go, wait a second. Wait, he's not going to do anything about it? He says it's up to people in our state? Yes! Great! I'm a pro-life guy. I'm going to go make sure that I get all my pro-life friends together, and we're going down to the state legislature. We're going to meet with our reps in the state of Tennessee, and we're going to have them craft some really, really restrictive rules on abortions here in Tennessee, and we have the right to do that because that's what we're supposed to do. Or you could be in California or New York or Virginia or somewhere. So I'm a pro-death activist. I love seeing babies die. I'm going to get all my pro-death activists together, and we're going to make sure that abortions can happen whenever people want. And if you get enough people and enough support and it passes, it passes. My point is the power is in the hands of the people. And the fact that Donald Trump has come out and said that, it's not up to me, it's up to you. That's what he's saying. There is no more empowering message. You can't have a message more empowering than that for voters. All they hear on ABC, CNN, CBS, NPR, New York Times, Washington Post, Donald Trump's going to be a dictator. He's going to take away women's reproductive health. And then they hear ABC, CNN, these same sources going, Donald Trump said it's a state issue. And they put his post up And he continues to say it. The voters are hearing, oh my gosh, it's up to me. It's not up to him. Wow. So if I vote for him, we get a better economy. We get lower inflation. We get a stronger border. We get a better military. We get better jobs. We get more jobs in America. We get a world that's not at war with itself. And he's not going to take away abortion rights. That's not really a right, but this is in the mind of that voter. Understand them to know where they're at. Well, now they're more likely to vote for Donald Trump because there's less fear. We've taken away, we've disarmed the fear. Hope this makes sense. Now, speaking of pain points, we talk about pain points all the time. Inflation is up, ladies and gentlemen. It's back. I don't know if you have noticed the supermarkets, how expensive things are, but year over year, the consumer price index rose 3.5% in March 2024. That's on an annual basis, according to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics. That's up from 3.2% in February, which means what? It's not slowing down. Let me show you the chart here. Individually, what has happened to your prices? Here you have it. This is your inflation chart. All items are up 3.5%. Food is up 2.2%. Food at home is up 1.2%. Look at juices and drinks. 27.5% increase. Juices and drinks. Beef roasts, I've seen that. 11.2% more expensive. Baby food and formula, almost 10% more expensive. Lettuce, we were just talking about yesterday. Cabbage was insane yesterday, right? Lettuce, 5.8% more expensive than it used to be. Tomatoes, 4.5%. There's nothing that's down. Energy, look at electricity, 5% increase. You know why? Because we're not producing our own energy anymore. We're importing it, whether it's petroleum, etc. Motor vehicle insurance is up 22.2%. Household repairs, 18%. Motor vehicle repairs, 11.6%. Vet services, almost 10%. That's veterinarian, not veterans. Tax return prep. So you got to pay taxes, and then you're paying someone to prepare your taxes. That's up 7%. Parking fees and tolls, 5.3%. Admission to sporting events, 5.2%. Personal care products, almost 5%. Folks, that's a pain point for Americans. And it's not slowing down. That's the point. That's why it's time we start going out, wear your MAGA hats, into the supermarket where everything costs more. People will see it. Really? MAGA? Well, you know, that lettuce was really expensive. That roast beef used to be cheaper. I remember when it was $15 for that 3-pound roast. Now it's $30 for the same roast. It's pretty crazy. People are going to remember that, what it was like under Trump. And what it's like now here in Biden, it's transitory. It's temporary. Remember that? Inflation's temporary. It's transitory. It's not temporary. It keeps going up. Now the Fed just came out. They were telling you there were going to be 3 rate cuts this year. Now it's down to 2 because it ain't slowing down. They say, oh, it's a little more sticky than we anticipated. You know what the biggest driver of inflation is right now? Housing. Cost of living is through the roof in this country. Some places it's cheaper than others. It's much cheaper to live and much more affordable to live in Tennessee than it is in New York, right? But it's still expensive to live here. Expensive to live, period. Find a place to live, right? Last but not least, we're talking about moderates, right? We're talking about people, common sense solutions. This has got Democrats very, very, very scared. This is the Democrat fear portion of the show. They fear Trump's messaging because he can reach moderates. On abortion, they fear the messaging. Inflation, they fear those reports because people feel that. They actually feel that. There's only so much gaslight. Food is cheaper. No, it isn't. Latinos are now growing frustrated and angry about migrants at the border. Yahoo News, ladies and gentlemen. Not a right-wing site. Yahoo News. Yahoo! Right? Remember those commercials? Yeah. Xochitl Nunes is not the typical person who comes to mind when thinking about critics voicing their displeasure with U.S. immigration policy or the influx of migrants. That's the way this article starts out is racist. Here's a Spanish guy. You wouldn't expect him to be upset about immigration. What the hell is this? Nunez crossed the border into California in 1999. She left her hometown of Morelia in Michoacan, Mexico. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, in search of a better life. The trip took her just over a week, during which she spent days without food and water. Days after crossing, still exhausted and dehydrated, Nunez began working at a car wash in San Diego. Soon after, she took on a second job in construction. Her hope was to then save enough money to own a home, her version of achieving the American dream. Today, people from around the world come across the U.S. border, many just as eager to work and potentially reach that dream. Yeah, okay. Yet Nunez, now 53, a farm worker and a single mother of three, has mixed feelings about the overwhelming majority of these migrants. She uses words such as anger, frustration, and jealousy when asked to describe her feelings toward the migrants. All the while, she shares the same undocumented status and participates in grassroots activism for immigration reform. Quote, right now, this immigration is out of control, Nunez said. And now they don't come to work. They come to live from the system. Now, I will say this about this Nunez woman. First of all, if you're undocumented, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You got to go. Oh, but she worked hard and she's doing. Look, if she's paying taxes, we could figure something out. She owns a home. She's got to be paying something in taxes, right? And she sounds like her story. It sounds like she busted her butt. Right? It sounds like she busted her butt. And she's upset that these other people that are coming across the border aren't busting their butt. And there are a lot of folks who came here legally who are also frustrated. Legally. Also frustrated. Because the illegal immigrant gives the legal immigrant a bad name. Think about that. The illegal immigrant, we call them bad hombres, right? Gives the legal immigrant a bad name. I don't have a problem with someone speaking Spanish in public. Right? I mean, we saw it on the truck yesterday, right? We saw this truck with all Spanish writing on it. We're like, wow, it's not even in English. Well, maybe it came from Mexico. I don't know where the truck originated, right? I don't know. What I do know is the illegal immigrants that are coming across now versus her story from what she had shared are, she's right. They're coming in. They're living off the system. They're hurting Americans. There's a lot of violent crime. They're straining cities. They're straining states. They're draining the resources. They're committing Social Security fraud. It's a different type of people that are coming across the border now. The drugs, they give the legal immigrant, she's not a legal immigrant, she's illegal, clearly. They give the legal immigrant a bad name. And when you talk about Latinos, so let's go back and recap. We have the Latinos that are frustrated over the border invasion. We have inflation that is not slowing down. We have Donald Trump's abortion messaging that's going to disarm the left's narrative about what he plans to do as president, whether he's going to be a dictator or somebody who, quote unquote, takes away a woman's right, right? Appealing to moderates and disarming the fear that those moderates may have from voting for him. And you're talking about a guy now who may be able to flip many, many voters who didn't vote for him in 16 and 20. Add the fact that the Latino community and the Black community, Latinos more so than the Black community, have left the Democrat Party in droves. The Black community hasn't left in droves, but there's a significant movement going on in some of these inner cities because of the illegal immigration invasion that is starting to wake people up because they're realizing there's bad hombres on every corner of the street. They're getting stuff and the community members in these Black communities are getting nothing and are forced to the back of the line and the back of the bus in that regard. Did you just say that? I did just say that because that's, you know, it's true. That's where they're being thrown, into the back. No, stop it. We got to take care of these illegals. We don't care about the Black community, but vote for us because we'll take care of you. But they're not taking care of you. They're not taking care of you. All right, I want to get to a word from our friends over at OFP Farms because I want to get to Sheila Jackson Lee. That's Idiot of the Week, and she became even dumber, if you could imagine that, after her comments yesterday. Hit that thumbs up button for OFP Farms, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a like. OFP Farms, a family-owned and operated patriotic America First goat farm that provides quality goat milk products for everyday use. Their large collection of goat milk products are enriched with vital nutrients of essential vitamins, minerals, and fatty acids to help promote optimal skin health. Not only are their goat milk products and lip balms top-notch, but they also carry a selection of magnesium products that can aid in pain relief and general well-being. OFP Farms can proudly boast thousands of five-star reviews on their wide variety of products. So go ahead, slather on the goat meal goodness and magnesium products that allow your skin to become the ultimate powerhouse. Visit OFPFarms.com and check out their wide selection of goat milk soaps, lotions, magnesium products, and Goat Kisses lip balms. And be sure to use the promo code LFA at checkout to get 15% off your entire purchase. That is OFP Farms, Oscar Foxtrot, PapaFarms.com, promo code LFA, OFPFarms.com, promo code LFA, OFPFarms.com, promo code Lima, Foxtrot Alpha, OFPFarms.com, promo code LFA. They also have the Mother's Day boxes getting ready to go out. Mother's Day is right around the corner, so check them out. Their Mother's Day boxes last year were amazing. That's OFPFarms.com. Check out the Mother's Day box. Use the promo code LFA at checkout for 15% off. Sheila Jackson Lee doubles down on stupidity. Here's what she said yesterday about the moon. Take a look.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
Okay, so she's talking about there that the moon, a full moon, is made up mostly of gases. And then she asks, if humans can live on the moon, will the gases allow us to do that? Okay? Dumb. Very dumb woman. She now says that she was talking about the sun. Sheila Jackson Lee clarifies she wants to live on the sun, not the moon. Now, she didn't actually say she wanted to live on the sun, but here is her tweet telling you what she actually meant. Sheila Jackson Lee, idiot of the week. Take a look at the tweet. Obviously, I misspoke and meant to say the sun. But as usual, Republicans are focused on stupid things instead of stuff that really matters. What can I say, though? Foolish thinkers just for stupidity. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Let's listen to this one more time, and we'll substitute the word moon for sun.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Full sun.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is
a
that complete
sun.
Rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question.
So she says the full moon is made up mostly of gases. She means the sun is made up mostly of gases, which raises the question that.
The question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
How could we as humans live on the moon? But she said she meant to say sun.
Are the gases such that we could do that?
So she's actually asking here, instead of can we live on the moon, can we live on the sun? The answer is no. We cannot live on the sun. You know why? No. You know why we can't live on the sun? Because it's made up of gases, as Sheila Jackson Lee says. It's, oh, you know another reason why we can't? You know what another reason why we can't live on the sun? Because it's too freaking hot. You're dealing with temperatures in the millions of the degrees. You can't even get close to the sun. If you spend too much time outside in the sun on this planet, you could die. Well, I meant to say the sun, not the moon. So you were actually asking if we could live on the sun? Are you? These are the people that are making your laws. Before you say, oh, well, you know, not everybody knows. Not everybody knows what? That you can't live on the sun? Stop it. This woman is an absolute idiot. On that note, we have to go. Will Johnson coming up next with Culture Wars at 6 p.m. Drew Hernandez with Based America at 7 p.m. And Stone Zone with Roger Stone at 8. As President Trump says, we will never give up, we will never give in, and we will never, ever surrender. We got to go. I didn't realize we were running that late.
Lord.
We will catch you tomorrow right here, same time, same place, rumble.com/LFATV. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon, pre-recorded.